Welcome to the Trailhead, where trails start and stories unfold. Welcome to the show, everyone. Now here's JD.
Welcome back to the Trailhead, where trails start and stories unfold. Today we're diving into a topic close to the heart of every pet-loving adventurer: pet safety and first aid. Joining us is Arden Moore, a renowned pet safety expert who brings over two decades of experience and a wealth of knowledge to our conversation. Arden, alongside her four-legged co-instructors Kona the dog and Casey the cat, introduces us to her innovative MuttGyver program. This program is all about utilizing everyday items to ensure our pet's safety and well-being, whether on the trail or at home. From turning a towel into a leash cushion to crafting temporary splints from socks and bandanas, Arden's practical tips are life-saving, engaging, and fun. But that's not all. Arden shares essential advice on preventing overheating in dogs, recognizing the signs of heat stroke, and why ice might not be the best cooling method. We also explore the importance of proper restraint in vehicles, securing pets safely for road trips and off-road adventures, and even talk about the exciting rise of adventure cats. With a mix of valuable pet safety tips, personal anecdotes, and a splash of mixology with kitty cocktails, this episode is packed with insights for anyone who loves exploring the outdoors with their furry companions. So gear up for an enlightening journey into pet safety with Arden Moore and discover how we can all be better guardians for our pets in the great outdoors. Welcome to the Trailhead, where trails start and stories unfold. I am JD. Today we've got Pope and Randy. Hey, guys.
Hi, how are you?
And our guest today is Arden Moore. Arden Moore is a, well, for lack of a better term, a pet expert. She does pet safety expert. What would be the preferred title?
I wear happily many collars in the pet world. Writer,
there.
Teacher, most of all, pet first aid master instructor.
So the official title then is the Master Certified Pet First Aid CPR Instructor, which is a mouthful. Yeah, yeah. It's... I feel like we do stuff like that on purpose. I know my title for my job has it's a long string of letters and words, and includes a lot of supposed titles and certifications.
You can call me Arden.
Arden. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate you coming on the show. We talked a little bit before the show got started, but we're off-road people, and you know, most of the time we're talking about tire sizes and lift kits and trails and stuff. And but on a regular basis, we have, you know, the Hades of the world with us, who likes to eat trees, and the mooses that like to sleep on trails and are occasionally involved in a rollover. And so when those kinds of things happen, then now we just kept coming back to the question, we really would like to get somebody on that knows more about pets than we do so that we can know better how to handle them out and about. So that's why we asked you to come on the show. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it, JD.
Super excited. We've been talking about this a lot on our podcast because we love our pets and we love them out there, but I'm always like thinking about what would make them safer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to know.
Yeah. I even had a rollover with my dog in the Jeep.
Oh man.
And she luckily escaped out of the window.
Really?
But, one of the things we're interested in is how to properly restrain your pets while you're mm-hmm. out on the trails and doing some of that stuff too. It's one of the safety things that we worry about. We want to take good care of them.
We'll get into that because you've been doing this for 25 years. You've had a podcast since 2007. And I just have to tell you, as a person who and people that just kind of started doing this within the last year or so, I tip my hat to you. That's impressive. it's a long
back
run.
Back in the day, we used Skype to do the O Behave show on Pet Life Radio. And that was like, and telephones. And it's been on the air, the longest running weekly pet podcast, 2007. But you're right, JD. I think my mouse now has a podcast, my computer mouse.
I want to ask you this quick icebreaker sidebar question.
Okay.
So in going back through your catalog of 500 plus episodes, bravo, oh, by the way, that's a lot of talking. I noticed a voice that rang true to my ear. I am a nerd when it comes to television and radio, and I listened to and watched Craig Ferguson for 10 years on CBS, and he had an announcer named Shadow Stevens.
Oh,
and I happen to notice that you have an announcer named, and he, I know that it is Shadow Stevens. And I have to ask you, how do you get Shadow Stevens to announce for your podcast? You have no idea, do you? I can tell by the look on your face.
You know what? My producer, Mark Winter, who is, has been in the biz a long time, is the man to thank.
Okay. Well, Mark, that's bravo. I recognized his voice. I heard it all those years watching that show. So that's awesome. I feel like you can only get that if you've got a producer that knows who to get a hold of, and B, the, I mean, you, it's just an impressive, it's an impressive show that you've had running there for a long time.
Thank you. Well, the show is called Oh Behave, but I don't. So that's probably why.
I think we've proven time and again that the times that we don't behave, people tend to like better on this show. So I think it's going to be, it's better for everybody that way. That's awesome. All right. Well, we'll get into it then. So you started doing this, before we start pepping with like trail related questions.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about your career. You might have touched on the fact that you were doing this for 25 years. How did you get started in doing the pet safety and kind of doing that as a full-time gig, basically?
Well, I'm not 100 years old, but I spent 20 years in a field called daily newspapers. I don't know if you ever heard of them. And I was an investigative reporter. I covered Super Bowl, space shuttles, serial killers, but I just wanted to do more in my life. And I went to a publishing house, Men's Health Prevention. And, I realized I love pets. So I was able to combine my ability to write, interview, and all that. And I got into the field of pets, but more for like health and behavior. And I've got all these credentials. But you know what, JD, I was missing a big piece of the puzzle. And that's, how do we help a pet when they're injured, when they're ill? And in 2011, I got into pet first aid. And we've come a long way, puppy, because there's so many things that I keep learning. I have a dozen veterinarians. They got like Vanna White initials after their name. They're like board certified in ER, critical care medicine, internal medicine, feline medicine. And I shadow them and in their practices. So I keep learning new things. And so each year we get better. And each year we're able to teach the latest approved way of saving a pet's life. But guess what? We kind of do it in a fun way. And right. I have two secret weapons. And they answer to the names Pet Safety Dog Kona and Pet Safety Cat Casey. Yes, I have a real dog, a real cat that let me have them be in classes in person and via Zoom. And now we have taught people all over the world.
They're adorable, y'all, by the way.
They're sleeping right now, but
they're sleeping. I can put a picture up after we're done. Okay. I'll add it to the post. Awesome. I had never before I kind of started looking into you, I'd never even thought about the idea of having I guess, you know, kind of in a roundabout way, I could imagine a therapy cat at some level. But I wouldn't have imagined having a cat be there to be an active representative for kind of teaching people safety and getting them ready to go with it.
Well, Pet Safety Cat Casey is a long, lean, purring machine. He's a therapy cat and he's a comedian. Of course, his birthday is on April Fool's Day. And he loves people. He loves dogs, some cats. And so one thing that I love is that he digs this. I would never do it if he didn't want to do it. But he is very treat oriented. So we're going to just see what happens.
I mean, I've seen cats on trail before, on leash. But I have seen, there's more than once I've seen cats up. Hello.
And it's orange tabby. Orange tabbies are my favorite.
There you go. And that's the cat I was telling you about before. That's basically Wally.
Yep. And this is how he likes to be held.
I orange tabby that would let me do anything to him. He was like the sweetest. There's something about a boy. Is he a boy?
There's something special about him. Mm-hmm.
And then I better do this. Kona, come here. Come here. Kona. Kona, come here, baby. Come on. Say hi, everybody. Kona is hails from the Rancho Coastal Humane Society. She is a shelter alum. I don't call them rescues. I call them alums. And she is also a therapy pet. And she's the most intuitive dog I've ever met. I love her. She's really good. She's my best friend. And Casey the cat is my BFF, my best feline friend.
That's awesome.
So thank you for letting me introduce them, because I can't do this without them. They make classes so real and so fun. As you can tell, Casey likes to talk.
That's trust me, we have that all the time on this show.
Okay.
Randy Pope, is Moose there, or do you have animals with you today or no?
Yeah, I have both Dottie and Moose. They're sitting here.
You don't have to move your camera. Right here, I know it's.
I gave them snuffle mats to keep them entertained so they didn't bombard the podcast. Hers has walked across everything. We have a cat.
Casey's the perfect typewriter keyboard. Wow. He's laughing right now.
I try to keep them busy for a minute. They'll pop in on the podcast. Moose likes to come sit right here. So.
All right. Well, anyway, I didn't mean for that distraction, but as I
said... No, that's not a distraction on the show. Are you kidding me? No, that's par for the course.
Thousands have met Kona and Casey, and this is actually my second team. I've been doing it since 2011. I started with a husky golden retriever named Chipper, so there was hair everywhere, and a white and gray cat named Zeke, and both of them were therapy pets, too. And so I am so blessed. I've got a second team that still let me bring them to meet people, and they do head to tail. We do CPR. We do everything. And I feel very blessed.
That's awesome. That's cool. That's really awesome. Well, and I think that's a perfect opportunity to plug your sites. We'll put all of this in the show notes for everybody, but Arden has got three different places where you can find her at. There's petfirstaid4u.com. Spell out the 4u with a number 4 and a lowercase u. Fourleggedlife.com and ardenmore.com. So.
And that's my real name. I was named after my sister's babysitter. So in my family, there's Kevin, Karen, Deb, Arden. What? So now I'm kind of digging that my name's Arden.
I mean, seriously, that makes you, it sticks out. It's not, it was one of those ones where I was just like, okay, I got to read that again. And I figured I had the pronunciation, but I was ready to be corrected.
It is my real name. Now it's awesome. But you know, when you were a kid, you wanted your little Stingray bicycle with the license plate, and Deb, Karen, and Kevin had theirs. I had to take Martin and kind of mess it up to turn it into Arden.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's ingenuity at that point then, right?
Yes.
Which, I mean, I guess that led you to what you're doing now.
Well, I just think that, you know, when you teach something like pet first aid, and you're starting to get me a little bit, there's no law written that it has to be boring and scary.
Yeah.
I think people learn better when they're having a little fun. And when you make sure they feel welcome and they get to do something, nobody wants an instructor that's going blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we have some PowerPoint, but I tell everybody, you will not have death by PowerPoint. And you can just see everybody going, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. It can get real old real fast.
Yeah. We're doing stuff because that's how you learn.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm in Dallas. I'm not from Dallas. I'm a fugitive. I grew up in Chicago, just like near JD and near Chicago, Crown Point, Indiana. I don't know anything about Indiana. I know everything about the region. And I went down to Florida as a newspaper reporter. Then I went to California and California, San Diego. Then my family's here in Dallas and I moved here and then I got married. So guess who's staying in Dallas?
I mean, it's not the worst place to end up. No, Dallas is pretty nice.
No, no. And I have good neighbors. And you know what? You can get anywhere in the country in 3 hours. So that's a lot better when you're living in Oceanside, California, and you had to go cross country all the time.
Does that include traveling within the country of Texas itself?
No, driving can take days to get out of Texas.
Yeah, well, but then again, if you're from the Chicagoland area, so traffic and driving really doesn't bother you, does it?
Nope. No, I've been on the Dan Ryan. I know it.
See, there it is. Uh-huh. It's where we all have PTSD from it. I know. It's okay.
I like it more.
Okay. After getting, you know, kind of down this path of the pet safety stuff, you kind of came up with the, you call it the MuttGyver program.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that's going to be probably, I hope it's something that sticks with our listeners, because I think it's really appropriate. There's a lot of situations where, you know, we're not near cell phone service, or we're in the back country, you know, miles from, you know, cell phone service, let alone another human being. And, you know, those kinds of things, like doing, know how to do a tourniquet on a dog or something like that, is going to be probably really important in an emergency situation.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I do have a pet first aid kit that's for dogs, cats, and people that's waterproof. But we don't carry this around everywhere like a pendant, right? So I thought, let's make this realistic. So I came up with a program I called How to Be a MuttGyver, homage to MacGyver. And I'm like, what are you wearing? What is on the trail that you can use to render aid to an injured dog and be able to transport them safely to the nearest vet? So in my classes, everybody learns some of my MuttGyver tips. So do you want to hear a couple?
Oh yeah. You know, I want to, I will take as many as you will give to us with for free. Although if you have additional questions after we're done, you can go to petfirstaid4u.com and get more information and additional MuttGyver tips, right?
So have you guys ever seen those big blue plastic IKEA bags that you do grocery shopping? And they make you go in the store and you have to weave around like a mouse in a maze and then get out the door, right? Okay. For whatever it costs, a couple bucks, I take those, I cut around the length, and I leave the strip with the handles.
Okay.
I roll it up very tight in a backpack. And guess what? It's a makeshift gurney.
You got a sling. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And in the house, if you have a big dog like Hades, and they have collapsed on their floor, if you try to wrap them in a towel or a blanket and try to scoot them across the rug, there's friction.
Mm-hmm.
But with this very lightweight, very cheap, chewed up bag I've created, you have a built-in gurney that can slide across the carpet without friction.
That's you know what? That's pretty awesome. Cool. That's something you could leave in your Jeep and just kind of leave in a recovery bag or something like that. Or
yeah.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, all right.
And I always tell people, always take an extra towel, because you can do a lot of things with the towel. One of the things I'll show you is you can roll up a 6-foot leash like a pool noodle, right? So let me get this. All right. And have it so that the ends of a leash are inside it. See how it's like a pool noodle?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you have a dog that's heavy and big and they have done something to a limb, you can cushion under their belly, lift it up, but because you have the leash here, you're able to control and take some weight off their leg and be able to guide them without them hurting under their arms and things like that. And so we call it the pool noodle MacGyver.
I like that a lot, because Hades is, he's got that pity in him, so he's got barrel chest, and it's he can be a bit gangly if you're trying to lift him up. Like, he doesn't like it in the first place, so if you're trying to do something weird,
try to do it just with the drawstrings of your hoodie or with your leash. Ow, that pinches. So cushion it. If you don't have a towel, I'm sure all the trailhead pals that follow you guys, you're wearing hooded sweatshirts, right?
Mm-hmm.
guess what? Mm-hmm. You can roll that up like a pool noodle and put the leash inside it.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think any one of us would gladly cut up one up and use it as a sling if we had to. That's a great idea. I like that a lot. You have that first aid kit, and I know a lot of the hikers and stuff don't carry theirs with theirs. We do. Are there some basics that we should have in our kit that should always have for pets themselves? Like you can't really carry like fabric band-aids for pets.
I know you don't want to do fabric band-aids, but you know, a roll of gauze, gauze squares, they're very lightweight. They're very small. If you have to splint a dog's leg, and the rule is never splint a leg where the bone broke through the skin. Let me just try to put your bones back. You can nick an artery, cause contaminants, but for the ones you don't, you know, they tripped on a trail or something and they're limping or they're not putting full weight on, bubble wrap. You can do a bubble wrap and make it like a little cushion on the leg. Then I say you have to have what's called stabilizers. So if you've got tongue depressors or you've got emery sticks, you put that on either side of the leg, you know, top and bottom or left and right. And then the good old bandana.
That's awesome.
You can tie that up. And you have a little temporary splint for your dog. Now, think about this, JD, and it's Donnie, right? No, JD and Randy and I call
Randy
you
Randy and Pope.
Okay.
We do. Yeah. Occasionally, okay. Yeah, we do.
look how heavy this is, not. And I'm just saying this is good. And if you get those orphan white socks that, you know, if you ever done this, you put it in the wash, you put it in the dryer, and there's only one. What happened to that other orphan? Did it go up to sock heaven? I don't know.
So I was convinced when we moved we were going to find them all, and it didn't happen.
There's going to be a orphan sock pate. So take this in your backpack. Again, very lightweight, not taking a lot of space. And when that dog scuffs the paw pad or does something with a nail, you have something that you can put around it, and then good old poop bag, you can tie it in place with the poop bag.
All right.
I just gave you something. All of these, not even all of this, probably maybe weighs maybe a pound. I don't know.
Oh yeah. But that's all like super easy stuff to add to any kit that we've got going on. Yeah. Like you could just add that to a human first aid kit just to have it with those things. Mm-hmm. And not make it too complicated. Go ahead, Randy.
If you knew how many bags of things are in my vehicle, that is nothing. I have everything that you're gonna, everything you could possibly need except for what you need.
Okay, well, another tip, get the quartz bag, the gallon bag that's clear, and put things in categories. So you can put it in your backpack and pull it out and it's clear and you see exactly what you need to grab.
Yeah, I love that. Ziplocs are my favorite thing in the whole wide world, yeah. I think.
Oh, I'm a big fan of reusable containers of all kinds.
But as long as you can see and grab quickly, when a pet is really hurt, every minute counts.
Yeah, exactly. So with him, with Hades, my big issue, I'm often concerned about his temperature. For a variety, he's a single coat. He tends to be sensitive to cold, where he starts to get, if he gets cold, he can start shivering a lot. And so I worry that especially in the heat, he won't stop when he needs to stop. So I often find myself doing that. And I know that's probably Randy and Pope, I know you guys are out in Utah. I imagine heat's kind of a concern for you guys, especially with those. I'm pretty sure Dottie is asthmatic. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a Boston Terrier. So she's got short snout anyway.
Yeah.
We don't take them out when it's hot.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, but we aren't doing the overlanding like you're doing. We're doing day trips. So if it's
okay.
And if we're going down to Sand Hall in the middle of the summer, we have I call it my dog's mistress. She stays with them and I actually think she wishes he was with her because I pay her to come stay here and then she takes work off. So it seems like to him, like she's the perfect owner.
And I so, actually, I that's a great tip, Randy. I love that idea of just having somebody that you can like babysit your dog. Like
it's a great idea. And one other thing, when we do take our dogs out, even down in Moab, whenever you're in Moab and Sand Hollow, you have to remember that you're actually in the desert. So even when the temperature kind of cool, you're still going to get dehydrated and you need to drink more water than you think of. So, I mean, that's another reason you would be concerned about dog temperatures there is even when it's spring, you could get dehydrate and overheat over in the desert, especially in Moab.
We have a rule. Yeah. It's like as soon as the number changes, we drink more water. So like
every hour.
So we look at the clock and if it's like, I look at it and it's one and then the next time I see it, it's two, then I hurry and it doesn't matter what it is. And so then I remember to like, if I need water, they need water.
Well, the thing about dogs is no matter whether they have, are hairless or they have double coats or whatever, their skin is different than ours because we have skin pores all over our body. So when I moved to Texas, oh my gosh, from California, it was like, I was like, I'm not a perspirer. I sweat. Unfortunately, dogs don't sweat like we do. The way they try to cool down a hot body is they pant and they're trying to draw in cooler air to their body. But look at their paw pads, everybody, because they're getting wet. They sweat through their paw pads. Putting a cooling bandana on a dog doesn't work. Putting a cooling mat in your Jeep to the trail where they can sit on it does have some effectiveness. But the rules of thumb is pay attention to your dog and stop everything before they start, you know, staggering, drooling. I mean, they might even vomit and you know you're in trouble. Flip that lip. It is bright red. That is a dog in going into heat stroke. And I don't want to scare everybody, but I do want people to know on a 77 degree day, the temperature on an asphalt or concrete, if you put your hand on it, is actually 125 degrees. If you have a dog in a stationary position on a short lead and they can't move out of that spot, they can get second degree burns on their paw pads in 2 minutes.
Yeah. And I don't think that's, I mean, I doubt that's limited. You know, asphalt's going to have a little bit of a higher temp because it's black.
But when you're out on the trails,
it's, we're
the
on rock. Yeah.
Off rock.
Exactly.
There's the heat. I used to visit Palm Springs a lot and I had a husky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we're like, we're getting up at 5 a.m. to do our walk.
Yeah.
And we're staying in air conditioning until maybe, you know, go for quick potty breaks, but at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So don't just please, guys. I've seen the autopsy of a dog who died of heat stroke and it isn't pretty. It's a painful death. So flip that lip. And with the water like that Randy's talking about, if you forgot your water bottle for the dog, which I don't think you would, MacGyver, you can make a water bowl out of a spare poop bag.
There you go.
And the hat that JD's wearing, if it doesn't have mesh on top, you have a water bowl.
Yep. It does not, actually.
Okay.
I'm not taking it off. I'm very bold.
Okay. Well, I'm very short. That's okay. So the thing is, do me a favor, everybody. Put each paw at a time, one at a time, into the water. Because that's going to go through the paw pads and that's going to drop the body core temperature. Then give them some water. And this sounds really weird, but don't give them ice. Mm. Because when the body is really, really hot and you give them an ice cube or you put an ice pack on their belly, guess what happens? The body freaks out and goes into shock.
Yeah.
And the dog can collapse. So do you want to hear the stupid thing rhyme I came up with to tell people to remind them not to give them ice? Are you ready?
I love it. Let's have it.
I say, ice, ice, not nice, baby.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. But I now have that as a permanent soundbite that we can always use in this show. I love it.
So never ice. Like, you shouldn't ever give them ice?
Not even when they're battling heat, because you never introduce the opposite. If they're too hot, don't go cold. If they're too cold, don't do hot. You would do the mild opposite. Cool for a hot dog or cat, and warm for a dog or cat going through maybe frostbite or hypothermia. Yeah.
I don't think she's saying never ice. Like if you, he gets ice as a treat. Yeah. So
I was just wondering, okay, that was my question. It's not
just to help
like
bring, just in terms of helping bring temperature down. Yeah.
Yeah. Overheating.
Yeah. Cause in the summertime, one of his favorite things to do is chew through a block of ice for some toys.
Well, just check his teeth. Cause sometimes they can crack.
Oh, I have. So and it's all very dog specific. Hades is, He's a hard chewer unless he's monitored, and then he's okay with a lot of things. So
we love him.
And the only other thing I will add to that is for the barrel chested dogs, don't let them inhale water. Like give them, let them do a little bit, and then give them a break, and they'll do a little bit. Otherwise, they can get too much in there, and then they get distended, and that's a whole nother problem that you can't deal without.
Right. So, you know, we're the humans. We're supposed to try to exercise a little, you know, look over them and make sure they're doing okay, and just slow and steady. But, you know, try to see the signs and always stop the trail walk if you can and take a break in the shade, put their paws in some cool water. You know, I know some of our pets will just go, 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 go. Yeah. But we need to be the ones that say, we're going to take a break right now. So I've done some things especially when I lived in California with my husky Chipper, and we would go with Leash Your Fitness. Shout out to Dawn Celapino. She's a fitness gal who also loves dogs, and we would get together and do weekend camping trips with our dogs in the outskirts of San Diego inland. And I got to tell you, it gave real meaning to the pup tent.
Oh, I can imagine. And I bet you it gets pretty Frito-y after a while, too.
Oh, and we got to know that who snored and who tooted in your pup tents, you know. And I have to say, my dog Chipper liked to toot.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I usually get the look from him when he does it. And he knows he does it and just tries to act like it's not him.
You know what one fart said to the other fart?
Nope.
Let's be stinkers and go out the back way.
Oh my God. That's such a perfect dad joke. That's fantastic.
I do tell dad jokes in class because people need to relax. They need to focus. They need to be in the present moment. And that's when you learn. And when you get to say things out loud like ice, ice, not nice, baby, that's sticking with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You're on a trail and you're going to say it because you said it. And now you might save your pet's life.
Yep. And thank you very much. That's one of the things that I know sometimes it sounds silly, but I love the dad jokes. We do the dad jokes here on a regular basis. We'll continue to do them because it's just who we are. But if for no other reason, then it's important that it relates to people, you know, and it helps them relate to the information in some way that they can retain it and then recall it when they need it in that emergency moment.
Yeah. Cause in my classes, I give everybody permission to freak out later.
There you go.
And you know what? You can see people in class going, oh, and I say at the end of class, you're going to be a pet detective. You're going to be a poopologist, and people dig that because you're teaching them how to use all their senses, what to report to people, and you're paying attention to the pee and poop of your pet because that tells you a lot. I didn't bring any free samples of Kona's to give you guys. Sorry.
You know what? That's okay. I'm good being off of that mailing list. Randy, you guys want to... talk real quick about what happened with you last year.
Well,
I just want to share with Arden what happened, and then we can kind of lead into that question.
So when we were doing the type of stuff that we do, you're always at risk of your vehicle rolling over for whatever reason. And I usually love to have our dogs in the car with us.
Yeah.
Moose is kind of a hassle. He wants to sit on your lap, so we don't let him, but there's a lot of videos of Randy Jeeping where he's stuck, got his head out the window with her on her lap.
Well, I mean, it's like, see, that's the thing is there was kind of a justification at one point where it was like, well, I'm not anywhere anything bad can happen. And I think when he rolled, it was where
nothing bad can happen.
Nothing bad could happen, you know? And so I think it was a real reality check for both of us that, like, just because we think that moment might be easier than it is or not, and we just want to make sure that they're safe because that's like our most important situation. You know what I mean? That's just, I mean, it was a good reality check for us. It sucked that it happened and nobody got hurt and everything was great. But I think that that's kind of what we've been looking at is how we approach these differently, I guess.
Yeah. So quite a ways down there. It's been a minute.
Yeah. Were you guys injured?
No one was injured. Everything was fine. It ended up working best case scenario, but it could have been really bad, you know, she could have been squished underneath the Jeep. Like, there was all kinds of things that could have happened were very, very lucky.
Yep.
Oh. Well,
yep. She actually fell out of the passenger window.
I
think she dove out that window as we were.
Well, rolling. I think she jumped out the window, and we would have had her strapped in if we would have thought that anything like this would have happened. But like, I think that was the big reality.
Yeah. Part of the point is this is a fire road. This isn't a trail that even has a rating per se. If it had a rating at all, it would be a 2.
Wow.
But the spot where I was driving was,
washed out
more than usual, actually. And I think it was usually a 2 or 3 foot drop, and it turned into a 5 foot drop on me.
Ooh, wow.
My back tire came off a 5 foot cliff. But anyway, so that's the thing that we were, we try to figure out what the best kind of harnesses are or what to do in those situations.
Now, is this for Moose you're talking about?
Well, Dottie was the one, but the Moose and Dottie are kind of similar, but Dottie is actually an old lady. So she's really, really surprising she came out from that without a scratch.
Yeah. She's spry, man. She's spry.
Here's some advice. I've actually had a student that had a dog riding in the back seat with a harness, and she didn't click properly the seat belt. The window was open. She's going down the highway, and his name is Mr. Finnegan. And Mr. Finnegan flew out the window, tumble, 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 and nicked an artery.
Oof.
So she pulled her car around, and she said, in my head, I kept saying, Arden said I have permission to freak out later. And she did what I taught her in the first aid class. And you need to put pressure on the artery that's between the wound and the heart, because a dog can bleed out and die in 5 to 7 minutes. She flagged down a guy, and he was in a brand new big old truck with her bloody dog in her hands. You're seeing where I'm going.
Yep.
The nice man brought him into his cab, took him to the nearest vet, and saved Mr. Finnegan's life. So his brand new truck got christened. But the takeaway is she knew what to do, and she knew when it was all stabilized, she could freak out. With you all, as much as you like the dog in the back, and it looks like the windows are open, they do need to be tethered so they don't fly out the window. And a projectile, Moose was in the back and there was a hit and Moose would fly forward, he could fly through your windshield. Or he could get trapped under your gas pedal.
Totally.
So it's a pain in the ass because we love our, excuse me, it, we love
You're
our
good.
To be able to have freedom and all this, but they need to be in the back seat. Now, you don't probably have airbags in the front passenger seat of your Jeeps, right?
We do, and he turns them on a regular basis because he's 60 pounds. So
the rules from ER vets is please don't have a dog riding shotgun in the front seat because they can die from the airbag.
Mm, very good point.
And we love them.
Yeah.
I love Kona. I love my husky Chipper. But they're in the back seat, tethered, with a nice harness that doesn't pinch their shoulders and is definitely secured into the seat belt.
Yeah, and, you know, for some of you with newer Jeeps,
Yeah.
I know that's something that I need to double check on mine, because I don't think I have the ability, or if I do, it's got to be some sort of a computer setting, the ability to turn that off. Yeah. My TJ had a, I used to call it a friend switch. Okay. I was able to put the key in and then turn the airbags on and off for my passenger, but I don't have that in my new Jeep. So, and I imagine that you probably don't have that in the newer in your truck, do you?
No, I don't. I don't think so, anyway.
So we love our pets, but riding shotgun with you, they can die. They can go through the windshield. They can set off the airbags. And it, like, I know
Randy's Jeep, the airbag in the passenger side is disabled because of the aftermarket seats.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know I was very happy Mr. Finnegan made it.
No, thank you very much. And no, we're very happy Mr. Finnegan made it too.
My question is so the way my dog is he's like long and weird and funky. And if I have it in the actual seat, do you feel like it's better in the seat? Or I have one that wraps around the back of the.
Oh, yeah, the type of harness and the type of connection.
So I do a harness on it, and then I have a connection to the back of the headrest. Is that too high?
How much does your dog weigh?
He's like 30 pounds.
Okay. My dog Kona is about 35 pounds. So I have a chest harness on Kona, and she's on an orthopedic bed in the back seat. And there's a seatbelt strap that goes, clicks into the harness and clicks into the seatbelt, but she's able to move and turn. I also have a little dog and she's 9 pounds, and little dogs need to be boosted up because if they can't look out the window, they get motion sickness. So they do make those orthopedic little high chairs, if you will, they're cushioned, and they do fit around the headrest. And they strap in and they click into her harness too. So my little dog Emma can look out the window, but she won't become a projectile and she won't get car sick. I don't know if that helps you or not.
So no, that helps me a lot because I just didn't know if there was a difference between when you put it in the actual floor seat thing, because I have a seat and it's like got four sides around it, and then I do the back. So yeah, I was just wondering if
tethered in place, but when they're elevated, but they're tethered, but still able to turn around, everybody is safe then. Everybody is much safer.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good, that's where I'm at. Cause I think what she's essentially saying is it kind of bases on where your tether point is for them. If that tether point's got to be up higher, then you should have that higher headrest tether. And if it's going to be lower, then it should be on that lower one. Like for Hades, I think it's almost a judgment call because his, the middle of him and that tether point would kind of come up lower or higher. And for him, I'd probably go higher because otherwise he's going to he'll never not stop fidgeting.
I have an SUV, and I had an SUV when I had my Husky mix, Chipper, and I actually just cleared out the back end and put a nice comfort thing for Chipper, and then put this metal gate that kind of stuck up so that I could still look out the back window, but Chipper didn't get to drive.
Yeah.
And that was also an idea.
Yeah, Hades gets the full run on the back of my Jeep, but he might be getting he might have to get the kennel walls to kind of keep him back there. That may be a good idea for everybody.
I know. And the thing is, you guys want to have fun. You want to do adventures, but anybody or any dog can get hurt at any time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm just trying to throw you some ideas that maybe
adventure,
but keep them safe.
Oh, I love this. I would love to. I love having this conversation because everybody's like, well, I do this, I do this, I do this. And it's hard because every dog is so different.
There's a lot of dog companies out there that are really geared for people that are into hiking and trails. And so kind of check them out because they also have people there that can answer your specific questions. My previous dogs were part of the original surf dogs in California. So picture a Husky and a 14-pound, mutt, Cleo and Chipper. And so we kept it safe, transporting the surfboards, transporting the dogs, getting them to the ocean, making sure they don't drink the salt water. And I still have their surfboard mounted in Dallas on my backyard office. And
that's awesome.
And the sad thing is they surfed better than I did.
Well, there. So I think we've exposed you to a niche that needs attention.
Yeah,
and folks. So if you're looking for a place to put some products for you, we're more than happy to provide you some insight on that. It's a big thing for us. And yeah, with all of these tips are fantastic. And if you're listening, make sure you check out Ardenmore's website. These are things that we need to know when we're overlanding, they're with us because they're essentially on the trip with us and we don't have a choice. It's nice when we have babysitters we can leave them with, but we don't always have that option either. So
I'm telling you, it makes the trip better when you got a dog or as you touched on, there is a growing number of adventure cats out there. And I'm telling you, you're going to see cats in backpacks and all that. And they're perfectly fine with it. There's I'm trying to find out. There's a lady that does adventure cats. And if you guys have a cat like a Casey, I would definitely look at adventure cats. And her name is Emily Hall of Kitty Cat Go. Kitty Cat Go. So
that's awesome.
Some cats, really dig it, and they're very good on a harness and a leash. And if you get hungry, they can snag you a squirrel in a second.
Every single trail cat I've met has been one of the most awesome, like fun loving cats, shoulder cats. Like they're awesome. They're so fun. Yeah.
They kind of evolved from the cats that were on the boats. You have your boat in the harbor and you always see those boat cats. Well, now they're trail cats. And I've had a few people on my show, but Kitty Cat Go, everybody check them out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like my orange tabby, like I used to take him to my parents' house on Sunday. I bottle fed him.
Aww.
And so aww. I just took him everywhere with me. So he and I had him for 18 years. He was like my best friend. And so it was like so funny because once he got a little bit older, it was a lot easier just to like let him stay home. I had a different life at that point. But he went everywhere with me and he would have been the best Jeep cat in the history of the world. Like I literally
am so sad. Hey, he might be up in heaven doing it right now. You don't know.
You never know. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's like doing all kinds of crazy things, but I've thought about that a lot, that if I found the right orange tabby that needed to be my co-pilot, I would do it. Sweet.
Do you guys have any other questions that you wanted to ask Arden?
So do you have online classes? Is that what you have is online classes? Because I would love to take something just all those kind of things.
I would love it, Randy. I actually try to offer two different types of classes. So we do have, if people are in my area or we're going on a trip and I can teach several classes, we do teach in person with Casey and Kona. I went to Omaha, Nebraska, and we taught 80 people over 40 days pet first aid. And it was a lot of fun. But I also teach on Zoom interactive and people, I wish we all had bought stock in Zoom in 2019 because we'd be rich.
Kidding. We wouldn't be having this conversation. I like you, Arden, but I don't think I would have started this show.
No, but the point is no one says you have to make Zoom boring and full of reading a bunch of words on a PowerPoint. People can read. But if you're in your own home and you have your dog like Hades with you, or you have a moose, and I'm showing you with my dog and guiding you with your dog in your own house, how to do a splint or how to wrap a bloody wound. What a great class, because you're doing something.
Yeah.
And so because of that, the word is out. I have now taught people in Egypt, New Zealand, South Africa, and I told JD, I got some big news. I am being sponsored, and I'm going to spend 15 days in 2 weeks in England and Greece, and I'm teaching pet first aid, I'm teaching cat behavior, I'm teaching dog behavior, and this is my favorite, I'm teaching kids, because they're our next generation of pet advocates. And humbly, I wrote 4 books during COVID, and the two that I'm most proud of is A Kid's Guide to Dogs and A Kid's Guide to Cats. And my publisher likes it because now they're in 5 reprints and 5 languages. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm very honored. It's going to be a hard trip, but they're going to let me go see the cats of the Acropolis and the Parthenon, maybe. But, you know, I think the, you know, people can be really rich or people can whatever. I've done a lot in my life, but helping people save their pets' lives, I love what I do.
That's awesome. All right. The only other, Randy got me on that one. So the only other question I have then for you, then I want to wrap out the trail questions for you. And then I have one final personal question for you. So other than, you know, we kind of talked about the heat stuff and check and pause. I assume, you know, coming back at the end of the day, yeah, from doing any kind of a trail, you know, whether or not it's a day trip or a multi-day trip, you know, kind of an everyday check-in with your pet is kind of a recommendation, right? Like check and pause for damage. To make sure they're not, you know, in stress. Anything else that we didn't talk about that you would recommend?
One of the best gifts you can give your dog, your cat, is once a week, do a head to tail health check, and do it when it's one-on-one, not with other pets, you know, maybe in your bedroom or a den, put on some Barry White music, you know, and methodically look at your dog or cat from head to tail, watch their breathing, check their paws, watch, do their range of motion. But when you come back from a trail, ticks have lived for millions, zillions of years. And even in Alaska, people are getting ticks. So know and look, really go through head to tail after a trail and go under the collar because ticks hug onto the collar. Flip that lower lip because they're black and the tick likes to hide there. Obviously in between the toes, and depending on what part of the country you're on, foxtails are really, really bad. And you got to get them taken care of quick. Otherwise they need to be surgically removed. Right. And they're like those hollow screws in a wall, and when they get time they can spring and stick, and you don't want to yank on them because you can cause a lot of damage. But really, really check the paws because that's their shoes, and if they get cuts in the paws, you're opening the body to contaminants in the bloodstream. So I know, you know, I work with some people that do search and rescue, and the dogs, the search dogs, are used to doing the booties.
Yeah.
But you got to make sure they're ventilated and you don't want them to overheat. So I always take a break when you guys are doing your water break. Just kind of check out your pet and catch something before it gets too bad.
Awesome. That's fantastic advice. Thank you very much. All right, cool. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Like, and again, you know, these are, I know some of these may or may not sound basic, you know, kind of a questions, but some of these are, you know, things that we've kind of talked about as a community, because we all have these animals with us on a regular basis, and it's a concern of ours. And I can't thank you enough for talking about it. Yeah. I just can't thank you enough for, you know, taking the time and just, coming to talk with us for a little bit. So, we got to get out of here though. I feel like we've taken enough of your time. But to that end, I have to ask, you are a certified mixologist? You're a licensed bartender?
Yep. what I did was, I love writing. I love doing radio shows. I love doing pet first aid, but I had to have a hobby. And I learned right before COVID and took an 80-week bartending course in Dallas. And I had to learn how to create all these different concoctions. And then COVID hit. So I hosted for 2 years a show, I kid you not, called Meowie Hour on Facebook. We had guests on there, and the Cat Fancier Association was on there. So we would talk about all things about cats. It was a lot of fun. And I decided to create kitty cocktails for you. And I created 100 of them. And I'm trying to get my publisher to let me do a kitty cocktail and a doggy cocktail book. So one of my favorites is called, let me see if I can get it for you, the Bourbon Mew-Tito.
Okay. Mew-Tito. I'm writing the recipe down.
I'll send it to you too.
Okay.
It's got mint leaves. It's got white rum. It's got lime juice, simple syrup, club soda. And it's just really good after you come off a trail to have a nice drink.
You had me at mint leaves.
Yeah. And then sometimes I heat up my drinks. Have you ever had a flaming Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. Well, we call this one the flaming Dr. Pepper Bow Wow. So you don't use any Dr. Pepper. You just take your favorite beer and you take a little bit of amaretto. But the key is to top it with a little bit of 151 rum. Yep. Mm-hmm. You light it up and you drink it. And it does chemically taste like Dr. Pepper.
That's awesome.
So there you go. I had a lot of fun making the recipes. But the funny thing was my cat Casey was a co-host. And if I did anything with whipped cream, he would bust a move. And he got like whipped cream all over his face. But if it has anything with citrus, cats hate citrus. He was like, I'm good.
Yeah, as soon as he got a closer whiff of it, that's awesome.
So thanks for asking about that, because now I do it a lot for fun. But yeah. I have more fun making the drinks than drinking. There's something wrong with me.
But no, I'm there in my life too. So yeah, I got a mixology license like 20 years ago, and I've never used it for anything substantial except entertaining people and friends.
Thank you for asking. Yeah.
And a little tip for you, if you're out there as a new bartender and want to get away with making people think your drinks are extra strong, grab that 151 bottle and throw a little down the straw before you give it back to them. That was the tip my bartender coach gave to me. So they take that first sip and it's like, oh my God, he had really heavy pour. I'm going to get this guy an extra tip. Oh, it was an amazingly stupid tip, but hey, it was.
Well, we have Chicago and mixology in common now, JD.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Arden. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I'm out of questions. Randy, Pope, did you guys have any lingering questions for now?
Yeah.
Because we will ask, I will get a hold of you anytime we have a question, though. I just want you to know.
All right,
you're stuck with us now as people.
Well,
and,
thank you. I mean, I appreciate you asking me, because this sounds like a good group. I did a little digging in what you're doing. You're having fun. You want your pets with you. And we just want to keep them safe.
That's awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Arden. And thank you very much for listening. If you are looking for more information, please check out fourleggedlife.com, ardenmore.com, or Pet First Aid for You. I'll put all of the links in our show notes for today. And thanks again. And have a good night, everybody. Appreciate you. We'll see you next time at the Trailhead.
See you, everybody.